Morning, St. Luke's. Here are the announcements for today. I know I said last week that we were going to send out an email with signups for our upcoming listening sessions, and that didn't go out this week, and that is my fault, and I apologize. But it will be going out this week, I promise. We're just getting organized, so thank you for bearing with us. EFM is starting up again for the fall, so if you're interested in education for ministry, this is a program that's designed for spiritual growth and ministry discernment and development. If you are interested in that, they will be meeting digitally for the beginning of the fall and then hopefully transitioning to in-person as soon as that's possibility. Your contact point is Sally Rooney, and she would love to talk to you about it. So go ahead and reach out to her, and her contact information is in the bulletin. Upcoming this week, Vestry meets at 6 on Monday. All the regular weekly activities that we have going on over Zoom or Google Hangouts or various other digital formats are listed in the bulletin, so look for those. I want to thank the Reverend Julie Weiss for being with us this morning. Always a pleasure to have Julie back with us again. And everybody, stay safe and stay cool and have a beautiful Sunday.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin, and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive, thankfully, the fruits of his redeeming work, and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our reading from Genesis. Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with them when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have, I'll provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt, and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." The word of the Lord.
Psalm 133. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head that runs down upon the beard of Aaron, and runs down upon the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon that falls upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has ordained the blessing, life forevermore.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I am myself an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in that order by the mercy shown to you. They too may now receive mercy, for God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense to what they heard that you said?" And he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into the pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair that I take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. He drew a circle that shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had wit to win. We drew a circle and took him in. May the words of my mouth be the words that God wishes to have you hear, and may the Spirit intercede when I speak my own. Amen. Good morning, my friends at St. Luke's. It is wonderful to be with you all again. Who knew that we would be continuing to find ourselves in this place? But here we are, and despite the fact that I cannot see your faces, see your smiles, or even your dozing off, I am blessed to be in some small way a part of your community. So thank you. Today's gospel reading is a very troubling passage for me. It is a passage that I want to pretend never happened. A passage I want to justify as a misunderstanding. A passage that, quite honestly, I wonder why Matthew found important to include. Remember the past few weeks of Scripture. Jesus' cousin, the one who had proclaimed that he was the Messiah, has been beheaded in a night of drunken lust. He still hasn't had much time to grieve the loss of his cousin John. He has sent his disciples out across the lake, and when they see him walking on the water, they're afraid. Once they realize it is him, instead of saying, "Oh, hey, Jesus, come aboard and take some rest," Peter instead challenges Jesus to have him walk on the water. Jesus, though I am sure would much rather have not, invites Peter out onto the water, only to find out that even Peter doesn't have enough faith as he begins to sink. And now in today's gospel, the Pharisees have come all the way from Jerusalem to the Sea of Galilee, some 75 miles, to question Jesus about his and his followers' willingness to eat without washing their hands. Jesus clearly is frustrated by the way that the leaders of the time were choosing their traditions over Scripture. He calls them out, saying that they are breaking the commandments while holding to the traditions that they have created. I can almost hear him at his wit's end with the way that his people are behaving. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been trying to teach someone and it seems that they will never get it? Have you ever told a story and the people are focused on the wrong things? I'm sure that Jesus wanted to scream, "That is not the point." So after that exchange, he travels another almost 40 miles or so to Tyre and Sidon. And it is here that I see Jesus for the first time show that he is fully human. With all the emotions and challenges that we all face as human beings, he has left the area, he has traveled into what is today Lebanon and into Gentile land. Here he is found, sought out by a woman who at the time would not have even been allowed to speak to a man, let alone an Israelite. And yet that's what she does. She finds out that Jesus and his disciples are there, and she comes to him looking for healing. Not for herself, but for her child. She approaches and calls him Lord. She begs that he heal her daughter. The Jesus that we have all come to know through the Scriptures and more often through our traditions would have been the gentle and kind, and he would have surely healed the child. After all, Jesus was always loving, always giving, always more God than human in many of our minds. But on this occasion, Jesus shows his humanity. At first, he chooses not to even respond to her. He tries to simply ignore her, perhaps thinking that this Gentile will just leave if he doesn't respond. But this is not the case. Instead, the woman gets more persistent. She calls again and again. Jesus' disciples, who are all too human, encourage Jesus to send her away. The message is, "She's bothering us. Can't you just get rid of her?" And this is where all the grief and all the frustration and all the tiredness, everything comes pouring out on this Canaanite woman. "I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel." I can almost hear Jesus thinking to himself, "Even though they are not understanding me." And then he continues with a sentence that seems so strikingly harsh for a person who was just begging for help. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." He must have thought to himself, if my own can't understand my message, why waste my breath on those who believe something entirely different? But something powerful happens in that moment, in that exchange. The woman who is desperate to help her daughter does not walk away, does not give up, does not ask a ridiculous question that misses the point completely, as was with his earlier experiences. Instead, she responds with a powerful profession of faith, of humility, of unworthlessness, yet with a deep conviction and desire to have Jesus heal. She knew that he could save her daughter. She didn't care that he was an Israelite, and she didn't care that he was seen as a radical by the Jewish authorities, and she didn't care about his reputation. She just wanted healing for her child. Some people read and have preached on her and Jesus' interaction as a quick-witted banter in which she wins, and out of respect for her responses, he heals her daughter. I see it a bit differently. I see her response that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table as one of deep reverence, acknowledging that the crumbs off the table are enough when they come from the master. This woman is a stark contrast for Jesus from the Jewish leaders and even from his own disciples. She didn't care about the rules. She didn't care about authority. She didn't even care what they thought of her. She came to the one that could save her child, the one who would allow Jesus to do his ministry of healing and reconciling. And in that moment, he heals her daughter. Her faith, her trust, her belief was clear to Jesus, and he responds, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And at that very moment, the healing took place. Strangely, I think this also gives Jesus the strength to continue. Having this woman come to him with the faith that he had not seen in a long time must have given him encouragement that his work was not in vain. So how does this speak to us today? What are we to do with this story where Jesus is calling a woman a dog? If you see that as the story, I think that we, like the Pharisees, would have missed the point, focused on the wrong things. Friends, this gospel speaks so clearly to me right now. I imagine that Jesus was tired. He was frustrated. He was feeling misunderstood or not understood at all. I imagine that he wanted to help his family and his friends. He wanted to keep them safe, and some of them would not listen. I imagine that he was trying to conserve his energy for things that really mattered and did not want to waste valuable time or energy on things or on people that it wouldn't help. As Jesus in all humanity, he tired and stressed and disappointed. His circle grew smaller. This happens to us as well. When we are tired or scared or hurt or disappointed, we often shut people out. We often only let those we trust help us. Friends, this is a normal human response, one so natural that even Jesus did it. We, as followers of Jesus, must learn from him. We must recognize that sometimes we do not know the other's story, the other's needs, or the other's gifts. We do not know their heart. We, as the church, must not fall into the trap that is so easy to fall into. We must not close our circle. We must not think that there are people that we are here for and that there are people outside that we are not. Friends, we are living in a time of great division, a time when there is little compromise and trying to see the other's perspective. It is one thing when our secular world exists that way, but when religion follows, danger arises. As followers of Jesus, let us remember always that love and inclusion, faith and healing are the gifts that we have to offer. It does not matter who we come into contact with or where they are. It might be the man sleeping on the street corner or the Muslim man that passes by your house. It might be your fellow congregant or somebody from the big box church or across town. It might be those who support your favorite candidate for office or their opposition. And when someone reaches out in need of help, we need to help them. Recognizing the needs of others and helping whether they measure up to our standards or not. Because we are not sent only to those who are like us. We are sent to all so that they may have life and might have it more abundantly. And we will find, as Jesus did, the strength to go on when we see the healing and love shared with one another. In this time of a global pandemic, you are not trapped and alone. The world is still turning. Help others who might not be the first on your list. The measure that we give to others is the measure that will be given to us. I leave you with the poem that I began this with, a poem from Edwin Markham. He drew a circle to shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had wit to win. We drew a circle and took him in. Continue to draw your circles bigger. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth, that we may treat her gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are sad or scared or are suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. We pray especially this morning for John and for Cass and for Margaret and her family. Who is on your heart this morning? Almighty God, whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will and those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask. Grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
May God give us grace never to sell ourselves short, grace to risk something big for something good, grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but the truth and too small for anything but love. And the Almighty and merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and remain with you always. Amen.